Hello and welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. Once again, I'm just going to double check. I did shut the window this time. Welcome. This is episode 296, 296 episodes of the post-nuclear podcast. My name is Vince. I'll be your host tonight. We do have someone in the audience. Once again, Marcus is here. Hello, Marcus. Hi. Thank you for joining us. If you like the show and would like to support the show, check out the Patreon. There is the Film Live Before a Studio Audience tier, which Marcus is a part of, where he gets to watch these episodes get recorded live every single Wednesday night, pretty much every single Wednesday night at 8:30-ish, depending on how much the audio decides to mess up or not. You get to listen to these episodes live, coming at you live and direct. Welcome to today's episode. You guys look great. As always, there are some things that I have to talk about. I'm going to say this here so it's recorded. If you are having problems with Discord at any point in time, not being able to hear anybody, the simplest thing for you to do is to go into the voice settings and then just hit reset. I spent about 20, 30 minutes last week. I spent about 15 to 20 minutes this week trying to get this all reset. And now we're here and we're recording. There's some things I'd like to talk about, some things that are very interesting to me. First off, I'd like to just start by saying if you guys are Fallout fans, which I think you would be if you're here, they're doing, Xbox has a thing where you can like design your own custom controller and have it sent to you. And they're doing one now. There'll be a little bit of it on screen here. They're doing something now where it's Vault Boy themed and you could change a couple things around. And I'm really surprised they didn't go for Nuka-Cola, which is something we're going to talk about in the next topic. But I just wanted to show you these because these are super cool. I've been playing Fallout 3. I'm trying to get the last few achievements that I need so I can 100% technically 100% the game. And then I think I'm going to try New Vegas for a spell. I have my copy of New Vegas here, but I really want to get a copy of the Ultimate Edition so I get all the DLC. Turns out I only ever bought one DLC back in the day. Had no clue. So I'm trying to get my hands on that at sometime soon. But I've been working through it. I thought it'd be cool because it is my favorite series to just have a controller that I just play either Bethesda games or just Fallout on with that one certain controller. There's a couple customization options. I really like the design of it. It reminds me of a, for those who aren't watching and are listening, it's a modern day Xbox controller, which Xbox, in my opinion, has the best controller still. And it's all white, but it has the outlines of the Vault Boy. And then there's one Vault Boy with a little Xbox controller playing. And then you can customize the decals of, like, the buttons and the triggers and the directional pad and what have you. It's cool. So it happened again. Discord, you fickle, fickle beast that you is. I don't understand how you work. I really genuinely don't. Skype worked, kind of. It was reliable. This, I don't understand. I don't pretend to understand. Reset all your settings. Shut the app down. Turn it all off. I am saying this now. This is a Discord PSA. I love Discord. Join the Discord. It's where you get to listen to these episodes get recorded live. If you're in the Film Live for a studio audience here on Patreon. It is a very, very nice tool to have. I don't understand how it works. But those controllers look fancy schmancy, and if you'd like to take a look, go ahead and take a look-see. The next thing I'd like to talk about before it cuts me or somebody off again is on screen, Marcus, if you look in the chat, I linked to an IGN article. I would say click on it. I don't know if it's going to shut all of Discord down for the next 6 weeks. There's a link there. If you could do it maybe on a mobile device or something. On screen will be the three new promotional posters or images for the Fallout Amazon Prime show. And the first one, I'm not looking at them, so I'm going to go off memory, but the first one I rather like, Lucy, the Vault 33 Vault Dweller woman. She's here. Look at her go. This is really nice art. It plays off of the Nuka-Cola girl that was all over for Fallout 4, especially the Nuka World DLC. All of that, right? It's nice. So a big way a lot of people, especially probably your mom or your grandma or your parents, know about the Fallout series is because of the Nuka-Cola girl. I'll put another picture of her up as well. She's got the white suit on, the blonde hair, little Nuka zapper. That's how most people probably know the Fallout. That's probably the iconography that people identify with the most outside of the Vault Boy. And then once we move past Lucy, we go on to Maximus, right? Now here's Maximus just like sitting on a giant Nuka-Cola cap thing logo. Why? Like, what does his character... I wouldn't be surprised they make his character like he needs Nuka. Like, oh, I need to have me a Coke or a Nuka-Cola. Like, what does a power armor paladin, does a person in powered armor have to do with Nuka-Cola? Like, other than it's just a recognizable brand, right? Like, it makes no sense. Like, it says that it looks like he's like maybe a little parched, a little tired. Maybe he's in need of a refreshment, a quick pick me up. But like, he doesn't really, this picture doesn't really scream Nuka-Cola to me. And then we go on to the third one, Walton Goggins' ghoul character. And the ghoul character has Nuka-Cola there, but it's not overly pronounced, but the Vault Boy is there. Like, there's too many Nuka-Colas here. I actually had a conversation with somebody on Discord, and it just brings me to this whole thing that it feels like the Fallout identity is coming down to the Vault Boy and Nuka-Cola. Like, there are more than two companies that exist in the Fallout universe. I wouldn't be surprised with like this, these showings of these things are to me, they're not good signs. Like, there's not much that's come out. South by Southwest is going on currently, and a bunch of creators that I really like, one of them who I've actually met, Mrs. Fallout, she got flown out to it, and it's super dope to see someone that I know from the community that is Fallout fans getting flown out to Austin, Texas to go to South by Southwest so they can see firsthand all the new Fallout stuff for the Amazon Prime show. It's cool. They're going to probably get some cool swag, and they're going to get some stuff that I'll be super jealous of that I want for the shelf. But like, I want to know what they see. I'm assuming they're going to see a sneak peek of something. I'm assuming they're going to see something related to the show. If I remember correctly, there's like a stand that you can like walk into that's like a junk town-esque area. If I could find the picture of it, I'll post a picture of it quick on screen, that if I could find it, like I said. But like, I'm afraid that we're going to get to see the show and it's going to be like, oh yeah, Vault-Tec made power armor. West-Tec doesn't exist. Don't worry about West-Tec. That never happened. Like, they said there's an episode with lore on the Vault Boy. Why do I need lore on the Vault Boy? Like, if they show like a pitch meeting, that's kind of cool. Like, oh, this is who we think the character is going to be. And especially if they got like Tim Kaine to like be one of the artists or something, is just like a quick little like tip of the hat, little noddly noddle, saying like, hey, this is the man who invented the game. Or even get the artist. I believe he's alive. I was watching Tim Kaine's YouTube channel, and when they were talking about it, I believe they were saying that the fella is alive. Just like, I just don't want this to like, the themes of the original Fallout, the themes of Fallout in general, are supposed to be about consumerism and capitalism and the over consumption of products and the over reliance on products and what happens when you're greedy and put too much faith into a thing. And like, just today I saw, it's like, oh, we're getting a U2's Lucy figure and we're getting McFarlane toys, which are cool. I like McFarlane stuff. Their figures are decent. They have some stuff that I really like. I'd like toys. Like, I would like to have a Lucy, but it's like, one of them is a Vault Boy. One of them is Maximus. The other one is the Ghoul. I probably would like the Ghoul because I just like ghouls. Like, and then there's like a coffee that's coming out. The new Jones soda. That's the Victory. Nuka-Cola Victory got announced, and that's really cool. You can buy those. It's cool. But it's just like, you know, a coffee, and then Arizona iced tea apparently is getting in on this. I'll buy an Arizona because it'll probably be easier to get in Arizona. Those Jones, the Quantum I have, I got in a mystery box that I opened up for the channel like 2 years ago. I hope, like, even being on Amazon to me is just such a wild thing that it's like, this is the closest thing we have to a Fallout company in real life. There's even that edit of the big blimp Amazon thing letting out the drones, and they're playing the Fallout 4 like audio when you see the Pridwin show up. I don't know, man. It's just, I really want the show to be good. I really, really, really want the show to be good. And my biggest fear is that it's not on HBO. It's on Amazon. Now, I have no doubt in my heart and my mind, my soul, the cockles of my body that this is going to be a decent show. I doubt they're gonna Jimmy Rings it. I doubt it's gonna be as bad as Paramount's take on Halo, where they genuinely, and I mean this seriously, if you grew up with any sort of understanding of the Halo games, Reach is a planet, and they said that there is the city Reach on the planet Reach. You know, like New York City in the state of New York, which always has bothered me. Just call it Manhattan. That's what it is. It's Manhattan. Anyway, tell me what you think about these posters, these images. Is the Fallout brand just Nuka-Cola and Vault Boys? Do you think so? Because I don't. That's my favorite thing about like the aesthetic of New Vegas is that it's moved past that. Fallout 3's artwork is a T-45. Fallout 4, which I don't have Fallout 4 here with me, but Fallout 4's is T-60 armor. Like 76, I don't remember what... Oh, no, 76 is power armor with the logo. I have the Tricentennial version, so it's the Vault Boy. Like, the three biggest pieces of iconography from the games are the Vault Boy, the Nuka-Cola, and the power armor. And it's just like they're afraid to try something new. And I there's so many more interesting stories to be told from the Fallout universe that aren't just those three things. And I just want to see them. I just want them to be a part of the universe that I love so much. Let me know how you feel about this. That all being said, I'm really excited for the show. I'm really excited for all the things that are going to happen. It just sucks that it's like, oh, here's these three things that everybody knows. Marcus in chat makes a really good point. They're making a show for the common fan, for the lowest common denominator. They're making this show. This is the show that you can show your mom. Like, hey mom, this is this game that I really like. The same thing with The Last of Us, where my mom is calling me the next day to talk about the episode because she loved it. So yeah, they'd reduce it down to a couple other things. And I get that, and I'm with you, and I like that you pointed that out, because I understand that, and I agree with it to an extent, that it should be things that people recognize with, that people identify with. But like, you have people that have been fans of the series for over 25 years at this point. As someone who's been playing these, like, I hate that I'm about to say this, but as someone who's been playing the 3D Fallout games before it was cool, like, there is other shit that I want to see that is representative of the series as a whole. I don't feel like we've seen any interaction with the Pip-Boy like whatsoever. And I could be wrong, but I don't think, just me pulling out memories as I sit here and blabber, I don't remember seeing the Pip-Boy show up like once other than just like on a person. Like, they never show a person using it. They never show, like, that's arguably bigger than power armor because it's a thing that you interface with constantly. Again, Marcus with another great point. There's only so much you can fit into an hour-long episode. Yeah, I get it. Again, I these are valid points. It's just, this is not how I would have hooked both fans and newcomers. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know anything about marketing. I don't have a background in marketing. I'm just some guy who's very loud and has a podcast. So like I keep saying, let me know in the comments below what you guys think, or join the Discord and let me know what you think, because I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to talk to you about this. I'd love to kind of pick somebody's brain on this. Got the whole squad sounding like an Xbox Live party in 2011. Hey, everybody. Because of the way that time works and I record on a Wednesday, this came out the day after I recorded this episode. So I'm recording this on a Thursday, 3/7/2024 in the year of our Lord. And I just got done recording the other night talking about what I think the Fallout show is going to feel like a little bit, and how there's kind of a dependency on Nuka-Cola and the Vault Boy. And then now there is a 3-minute and 17-second trailer that I'm going to watch live with you guys. I will be completely honest with you. The only thing that I've seen is there is a very Half-Life-esque character that opens it, that like introduces it. That's the only thing I've really seen. And I've seen a screenshot of someone carrying an NCR flag in the background. That is all that I know about this trailer. What I am seeing, I'm going to be seeing with you, presumably for the first time for me. I don't know if it's going to be the first time for you, but it's going to be the first time for me. I'm very excited for the show, regardless of what I just said about how I feel the iconography of the show is going. I'm very, very, or the series, I should say, is going. I'm very, very excited for this show. If you would have told a 12-year-old me playing Fallout 3 that one day this thing that you love, and it seems like only you love, would get its own series on television, I think I'd laugh in your face. So we're gonna watch this together. Like I said, 3 minutes and 17 seconds. Let me see if I can work my magic and turn that 3. I'm like a drug dealer. I could turn 3 into 20. Let me see if I can do that. And we'll just enjoy it together. If you're seeing this now, the Jones Colas are up. The McFarlane toys are now live. IGN's website, I think, like their merch store, is selling Fallout stuff. And there's like a Vault 33 hoodie, a pin. Some other fun memorabilia. I'm not going to get too much into it, but let's go over this trailer together. Let me put it in watch-along mode. Here we are. This is on Prime Video. I'm going to put this bad boy in full screen. We're going to watch this together. I'm going to analyze the hell out of it. So let's start.
Hello there. I'm here to show you a wonderful place.
Big teeth. Okay, cool. I'm actually going to make this a little louder on my end.
A veritable Camelot, the nuclear age.
All right. Hold on. We're going to go back a tiny, tiny bit. Telesonic magic of 3D. I like that on the camera. I just wanted to see what that was. I want to talk about several things instantly. Sorry, I just remembered that I love this. and I'm incredibly excited. We're going to go back just a tiny, tiny bit. Vault 4. what is Vault 4, dude? If I go on the wiki's probably just going to show this, but this appears to be an outdoor setting that I'm assuming this is like a wedding or something for the vault. I don't expect this to be inside of a vault unless this is like false advertisement.
The nuclear age. Not made by God Almighty, but...
We're going to wind up watching this one time through all the way because I want to hear the voiceover at the end of this. But this vault looks fantastic. Oh my God, the mailboxes, the faux grass. These vault suits. I like that they made the vault suits look more like they do in the first game.
But... The work.
Oh, look at this. I believe this might be the overseer that we saw briefly in the, like the first initial, like, teaser thing.
Amen.
Hello.
You can be a hero by purchasing a residence and a vault tech.
Hold on a fucking second. This means Walton Goggins' character, if this is the same person, I don't know why I'm just realizing this now. That means Walton Goggins' character is like a celebrity. He's like a known person. That's such an interesting thing. That's such an interesting thing to go with, that he's a known person before the war, and now he lives to, I don't even know what year this takes place in. I was thinking about it today at work. I have no clue what year this takes place in. I want to know if this is before or after Hoover Dam. I'm assuming it's going to be before, but it's probably, I don't know.
Vault today, because if the worst should happen tomorrow, the world is going to need you to build a better day after.
His teeth aren't that big. Oh, boy, that's Santa Monica. Oh, there's a vault right there. There's a vault right there at Santa Monica Pier. Yo, real... Ooh, I hope Kyle's watching this. Kyle, if you're watching this, I hope you remember this. Back in the day when we were playing Fallout Dungeons & Dragons, we didn't know what Nuka World was going to be. We had Nuka World in Coney Island because we thought it was close enough to Boston that it would be like, oh, you know, Coney Island, it became bigger than what it is. Dog. I'm sorry. Does that say motherfucking Shady Sands right there? Does that say Shady fucking Sands? The pubic library? Oh my God, we're getting like genuine Fallout 1 stuff. The This is Lucy. You can buy this backpack.
The mission of the vaults should be important to everyone. To come up to the surface one day and restart civilization. Can you tell me what's happened in the last 200 years?
I have two of them.
Whoa. What'd she say?
Can you tell me what's happened in the last 200 years?
Okay, so it's 200, so it's at least 77. 2277.
Holy shit. You're an actual vault dweller.
I am.
I don't mean this with any hyperbole. I mean this with all sincerity. I love her. I love her. She is the right amount of naivete that I want to see in a vault dweller. Nothing has happened, but just the look of her, even just the subtlety of, you can tell that her jumpsuit is worn, but she is freshly bathed. She is something that you do not see out in the waste. Look at the contradiction between this woman who looks like a grizzled, gnarled human who presumably does not have teeth, and her fingers look like they might be older than she is. And then look at Lucy.
All you dipshits were dead.
What you're doing is insane.
Bro, you can't hit me. You can't hit me with the fucking Fallout 3, I don't want to set the world on fire. Like, you can't, because you know what you're doing to me. Because you're well fucking aware what you're doing to me. Because you know.
Hey, don't you set the world.
It isn't like the vault out there, it's big.
I want to know this. I'm assuming this is LA. I'm assuming this is the Boneyard. Oh my god, go back. Look at that. Hollywood Boulevard, man. Look at, like, you could see how, like, the earth is slowly reclaiming. This is neat that this is, like, green. I'm so used to seeing the West Coast stuff being pretty much destroyed. You get a little bit of greenery in Fallout 1, but still.
Just want to start.
This is Walton Goggins.
I've had a rough week.
Fucking A, slow down. I don't know what.
Practically every person I've met up here.
Going too quick. Kitty Playland. I hope that this isn't baby bait. I've talked about baby bait before. Make me feel bad because a baby is involved.
Try to kill me.
I'm simply going to harvest your organs.
You need to go home. You come from a world of rules, of laws. You should not be alone.
Why did you join the Brotherhood?
To hurt the people who hurt me?
Okay. I identify with that. I think that's justifiable. I'm like in awe. I'm sorry. Like, I'm trying to, like, not freak out and, like, give you genuine things to talk about here. A lot has happened. Walton Goggins looks fantastic. Maximus, I'm not interested in the Brotherhood, but this might... A story of revenge. That's how that works? That's not... I don't like that. That shouldn't be canon. Not a fan. What is this? Why does his face... He's not Iron Man. This is... Okay, whatever. Oh, he's got a dog. I love him.
I'm going to come after you.
Ain't much stage cleanup here, Vaulty.
He calls her Vaulty. This has to be Junktown, dude. This has got to be Junktown. Oh, she shot him?
Well, now that is a very small drop. In a very, very large bucket of drugs.
My phone is vibrating. I apologize. Please stop. Oh, the observatory. I really gotta know what the Brotherhood is doing. Like, this is worrisome to me. Is this Maxon's Brotherhood? Has he left and then come back? Yo, these walls are crazy.
Look out at this wasteland.
Yo, what are you? Are you some sort of cult?
Looks like chaos. But there's always somebody behind the wheel.
Oh, see that? Why can't I fucking tick back? Yo, he fucking... Look at that. Fucking... Shirley Hogan, fucking... He uppercuts this motherfucker like it's his job. He's the Mike Tyson of the wastes. Holy shit. We need that. God. A gulper.
What is happening here?
I guess we saw that. That's Super Duper Mart. That was like in New York. That was like not far from where my grandma used to live.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just to disagree on how.
There you are, you little killer.
A flame in your heart.
All right, so nothing happened. All episodes available April 11th. Damn, that really puts a damper on my plans for what I wanted to do. I'll be completely honest. I wanted to ask Kyle if he wanted to do a, like, watch one episode every week as it comes out and then talk about it in, like, a little mini podcast thing like I did the three of us with him and my brother. Oh, my God. You guys want to watch a Red Letter Media together video together? We could watch Dracula Float. Like, I didn't watch it two times already today. We can watch Anthony Bourdain together. We're going to watch it one more time. We're going to watch it straight this time. We're just going to... I might say something, but not.
Hello there. I'm here to show you a wonderful place.
I'm probably going to talk over it so this becomes transformative and I don't get my
veritable
video taken
Camelot,
down.
The nuclear age. Not made by God Almighty, but the working man.
You can be a hero by purchasing a residence in a Vault-Tec vault today. Because if the worst should happen tomorrow, the world is going
to
need you to build a better day after.
I know he said we're going to watch it straight, and I'm a hypocrite. I'm a liar. Shoot me. Put me on a cross like the degenerate that I am. The thing that this trailer does for me that is tickling a part of my gray matter that I feel like hasn't been tickled in a long time is that it feels like this is a real world that I could live in. And I've been replaying Fallout 3 recently, and as I'm playing it, I'm realizing this felt like a world that I could live in when I was a kid. And even now it's feeling like a world that I can live in. And even though this is a heavily CGI trailer, these little things like seeing the vault and seeing Walton Goggins as a character pre-war, as a civilian, as presumably some sort of a celebrity pre-war, he sees these things and then he's going to see them happen, like how they have been affected by the world, makes it feel very welcoming, very inviting. Seeing Lucy being a conduit for you and I, for someone who is unfamiliar with the rules of this world, especially because this is a show that your mom is going to watch, or your mom is going to have the option to watch it. You could sit down and go, hey mom, this game that I really like has a show now. So much about this. Santa Monica, the fucking vault right there. The Shady Sands Public Library. The only thing that scares me about that is this looks dilapidated. This looks like it's just nothing but refuge and detritus. I need to know more. I need to know more. As someone who adores the first Fallout, I need to know more.
The mission of the vaults should be important to everyone. To come up to the surface one day and restart civilization. Can you tell me what's happened in the last 200 years?
She believes.
Holy shit. You're an actual vault dweller.
I am.
I thought all you dipshits were dead.
I can't do this. I can't wait to see this. That's obviously her. She just left. I can't wait to see that.
It isn't like the vault out there. It's big.
I just want to start.
I've had a rough week.
I would sell. I would do almost anything. Almost anything to just be an extra on this program.
Practically every person I've met up here has tried to kill me.
I'm simply going to harvest your organs.
You need to.
That's going to be a great first couple of episodes showing that you cannot trust anybody.
Go home.
Oh my god.
You come from a world of rules, of laws.
She's pregnant.
What does that mean?
You should not be alone.
Oh, there was a nice jacket there. We're going to go back a second.
You should not be alone.
I'm a big sloppy slut for a nice jacket. This gentleman right here. This SS looking motherfucker. Oh my god, what a nice jacket that is. Man, this building here actually reminds me, that's a Brotherhood flag behind him, but this building right here reminds me of the barracks at Nellis. I doubt this is Nellis, but it's what it reminds me of.
What? Did you join the Brotherhood?
I hate this gun. I hate the assault rifle. The assault rifle in 3 looks fantastic. I just don't like it here. It's got character. It's got its own panache. I'm not a fan.
To hurt the people who hurt me?
That's where we do things with.
People are going to come out.
This is where the inspiration for J. Dilla's donuts was taken.
After you.
It's really fun to meet another person.
Ain't much stage cleanup here, Vaulty.
He's got a hole in him. That's badass. That's a Poseidon. Majun's Sundries. Poseidon Energy is here. CMRA, don't know what that is. I can't make out this logo up here on the truck. How'd that truck get there? There's a dog here. Is that dog dead? Did they shoot the fucking dog? That dog's got a... Oh my god, he's got blood. You can't see it. Hold on, let me move me. That dog's dead. They shot that dog. You come to my house and you kick my dog. Oh my god. I don't even know that dog yet. That's River 2.0, and I got some feelings about it.
Well, no.
Why is... I guess that could be pre-war, because it was the Bureau of... Oh my god, they blew off fucking Glasses Man's foot! The Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, Lasers, Firearms.
A very small...
Wow, I can't believe they blew off his foot.
And a very, very...
I don't even know this character, and I've already found myself feeling emotional.
Large bucket of drugs.
I really, this bothers me. These vertebrates like this bother me.
Look out at this wasteland. Looks like chaos.
Oh, there it was. There is the NCR flag. Right there. That's really cool. I want to know if this is NCR. It doesn't look like NCR. It doesn't look like it's... This looks like just Wastelanders. So I'm really curious to know... Oh, I bet it's that cult of those people. I bet. But why do you have the flag? I guess we'll find out together when the show premieres on April 11th.
But there's always somebody behind the wheel.
I really want to... as someone who played a ghoul who had a past and was a character from the past in my D&D games, I really want to see it be explored here. Really, really, really going to appreciate Walton Goggins' character.
Chaos. But there's always somebody behind the wheel.
I love this. I just want to see beautiful landscapes destroyed. I think there's such a beauty. I want to know if Walton Goggins' character, the ghoul, is going to be played up as someone who doesn't care anymore because the world is over. Like, just a nihilistic, having fun, doesn't care about any... Like, I just... Ugh. I just hope this doesn't feel like fan fiction. That's my only fear, is that the show will feel like fan fiction and not its own thing. Dayton.
What?
Who are all these people? These people are very diverse. Which I guess makes sense. Is this the kid from Hannah Montana? Is this the freaking weird kid from Hannah Montana? This is the weird kid from Hannah Montana who was hanging out with Titanic Sinclair and Poppy. And the, oh God, what's his name? The Jewish kid. Not that, like, saying it derogatorily, his character is a Jewish kid in Victoria. Robbie. I think they're like all buddies. Holy shit. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Happening here.
I want to know what.
Everyone wants to save the world.
I love that she's got like, oh, I love that she's got an armored vault suit on. Oh, I want to see what her Pip-Boy looks like. It's like all chromed out.
Everyone wants to save the world.
I want to know where this is. This is obviously. I hope that's not the glow. I don't think that's
awesome. They disagree on how.
There you are, you little killer.
I can't wait to see Lucy's first kill. I can't wait to see the part where she, like, the moment she loses her innocence. My God. Ladies and germs, boys and ghouls, holy shit. I have not been excited for something like that in such a long time. After seeing that, and now that I think about it, there really wasn't any Nuka-Cola. Maybe my previous statements have been a little apprehensive. That I am incredibly excited for. I cannot wait to see that. April 11th cannot come soon enough. 2024 is going to be a very good year for us. We eating good all year, fellas and lady fellas and non-binary fellas. I am very excited for this show. thank you for watching this with me. Sorry that I had to do it like a quick little pickup, you know, something a little extra for you at the end there. I hope you've enjoyed. Enjoy the rest of the show. I talk about some stuff at the end. To be completely honest, I record these episodes and I don't remember what I talk about like the next day. So the lore is really fun. Some asshole needs to be loud at 9:50 at night because that's just what you do here in Southern Colorado. But I hope you guys are well. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Here will be an awkward transition back into me. Enjoy.
I'm moving different.
So let's get into the lore. Let's get into the lore of the show. This is a Fallout lore for this episode. There's a quest. I haven't done a quest in what feels like forever. And it's a fun one. It's one of my favorite, I'll call it like an ambient quest, even though it's not technically an ambient quest, but it's one of those that you can kind of pick up and do piecemeal. I really like it. It makes the world feel a little bit bigger than it actually is. But before I can get there, I have to thank the Patreon. Because of the Patreon, the show continues to grow and get bigger and better and harder and faster and stronger. And I think I just might, if I get some time this weekend, go out and get a new piece of equipment or two for this. As you can probably see, the green screen lately hasn't been great. And it's because I replaced my light bulbs in my room and it just isn't the best. I'd like to get a nice light, maybe like a ring light that I could put up that'll illuminate me properly so it's not me half and half on the screen and half not here. And part of my face has been green screen. Green screening is a tricky, tricky mistress, but I'd like to figure it out a tiny, tiny bit. And I feel if I can go get a backing light, maybe I can work it out a little bit. So the people that I have to thank on screen right now, starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Milhouse. Thank you to Mellow Milhouse. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. Like I said, all these people support in the Discord from the $1 tier to the $10 tier. Your voice could be heard every single week. And if you're at the $10 tier, the Film Live for a Studio audience tier, like Marcus's, you get to watch these episodes get recorded live, hopefully with minimal audiovisual interruptions, technical difficulties. Thank you for supporting. I love you guys. Link in the description below. So for this week's lore, I wanted something that that I consider somewhat of an ambient Fallout New Vegas quest. There was another option there, but I went into the Discord I went into the Patreon and I did what I always do, and I asked a question. And it was between a town in New Vegas that I adore. I love the story behind it, the people that inhabit it. And I also kind of wanted to stick within a theme. I also kind of wanted to have the theme of nostalgia, the theme of theming itself. The way I just spoke upon how it feels like Fallout is becoming a theme of three different things. The theme of themes. So I gave the option in the Patreon of either Novak or the quest Classic Inspiration, which I wouldn't be surprised is a quest that not a lot of people really ever get around to doing because it is so minor and kind of silly, but it's fun. So if you'd like to hear any Fallout lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever, check out the Patreon. From the $1 tier all the way to the $10 tier, your voice is heard every single week when I ask a question. That question will be about lore, and inside of a poll on the Patreon, you get to vote, your voice being heard as we go into this week's lore. So this week's lore, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, is on Classic Inspiration from Fallout New Vegas. Classic Inspiration is given to you by a man by the name of Michelangelo. And no, that's not his real name. Michelangelo is an artist who lives within New Vegas. He's actually the resident artist, neon artist of New Vegas. He's done artwork for many of the casinos on the Strip, and he's even gotten a couple of special assignments directly from Mr. House. Now, Michelangelo's real name is actually Sheldon Winthrop, who you might know his sister, Sarah Winthrop. They both grew up inside of Vault 21. Mr. House wins the rights to get Vault 21 for himself. He rigs a blackjack game, a poker game, a card game, and wins Vault 21 for himself that he can then turn into a hotel that he can have on the Strip so he can generate even more money for himself. And he takes the bottom layer of the vault and just seals it with concrete. So it is just a living quarters and a couple other spots, right? Once everyone gets the boot, Doc Mitchell's down there, Sarah Winthrop, and also Sheldon, who will later become Michelangelo down there. Michelangelo goes to become this artist that he is. He's a very neurotic guy. He's very in his own head. There's a couple speech checks that you can do that actually negate the quest, Classic Inspiration, because you bully him, essentially, into him not giving the quest. And I believe you get some caps out of it. He's also suffering from a condition called agoraphobia, which is a condition that I learned because of the Fallout games, where he's afraid of open spaces because he lived most of his life underground. So he spends most of his life inside of his workshop on the Strip, at the far end of the Strip, where the NCR consulate is. And he doesn't like people. He doesn't like being around people. He's afraid of the openness that is outside of his workshop. You could take advantage of the way he is, his neuroses and his agoraphobia, and bully him, essentially. You can pick on him, and he'll give you more caps for the quest. Now, he has lost his inspiration, and he's looking for some work, so he tasks the courier to photograph some famous neon signs around the Mojave. He gives him a Kodak, a C-O-D-A-C, Kodak, R9000 film camera with a 24-picture film roll and the task of photographing five famous locations throughout the Mojave. Now, I take my notes just like any other person, but this one, I drew what the signs look like as a little visual representation for myself. So one of the first that he wants is the Dinky Dino thermometer in Novak. What once was a roadside attraction pre-war was labeled as the world's second largest thermometer of the character Dinky the Dino, where you can buy little miniature Dinky Dinos inside of the Dinobite gift shop. Alongside Highway 95 to show what the motel had. It had all of the most recent, up-to-date accoutrements, amenities, that being vacancy and a colored television. And for those who don't know, I'd be surprised who doesn't know at this point, Novak comes from no vacancy and how it got cut off in the neon sign. Ba-bam. What was once a highway attraction, a roadside attraction, is now, and just a little motel, is now a thriving city. My favorite, probably my favorite city, if definitely in New Vegas, maybe in all of Fallout, like up there with Junktown. What else is really high on my list? The Republic of Dave is really high on my list. Diamond City is really high on my list. I really, really like Diamond City as a concept. No, Novak is very, very, very high up on that list. And what was once this roadside attraction is now a sniper's nest for two veterans of the NCR that were snipers, Manny Vargas and my favorite companion, probably throughout the entire series, Boone, Craig Sadman Boone, and he takes the night shift and he watches and he remembers what happened. Oh, how he can't forget what had happened to his wife, Carla. The second place he sends you to is Bison Steve's Hotel and Casino. The Bison Steve is in Prim. It's a pre-war casino and hotel directly across the street from the Vicky Vance Casino. On the wiki, where I get all of my lore, fallout.fandom.com, the Nukapedia, if you will, it says that the Vicky Vance Casino doesn't mind that they have some sort of competition directly next door. They're just kind of rolling with it. There was a woman, her name was Old Lori. She originally ran it. She took it up. She started renting some rooms out. But shortly before the events of New Vegas, she had left. And when the NCRCF prisoners leave the NCRCF, they make their way to Prim and they take refuge in that hotel. Michelangelo wants a photo of the Bison Steve, it being a big bison, and it says bison arched up and then arched down. It says Steve underneath. He wants a photo of that as well. The third thing he wants is the sign above the entrance of Camp McCarran. Now, Camp McCarran, or McCarran Airport, is the airport that you take to get into Vegas. If you're flying to Vegas, you'll get there. It's the Camp McCarran, the McCarran International Airport at one time, but we'll get into it. He wants the sign. It's real big. It's two pillars and what seems to be like a bus, what seems to be like a garage door and then some windows, two pillars, what seem to be like propellers from like a plane. And it says McCarran Field above it. This is Camp McCarran. Again, this is a pre-war sign that is a neon sign that is his for his inspiration. It was founded in 1942 as the Alamo Airport. In 1948, it was renamed after Nevada Senator Pat McCarran. In-game, it once was Las Vegas' international airport. It still is one of the international airports in Vegas. It is now a heavily fortified base that the NCR is using to be right by the strip, to be right kind of inside the Vegas action. And it's super, super fortified. You get a couple of quests here. It's a really, really interesting area to just check out. It is now known as the Harry Reid International Airport in real life. So if you fly to Vegas through the international airport, you're not flying to McCarran. I wouldn't doubt everybody still calls it McCarran, or at least the old timers know it as McCarran, but now it's the Harry Reid International. The fourth sign that Michelangelo needs from you is the Helios 1 sign above the entrance. Now, the way that sign is it's almost kind of like a double outline with negative space on the inside, and the O in Helios is reminiscent of a sun. It's a very nice sign. Like, I was sitting there, like, looking at it. I was like, ooh, yeah, that's a good sign. I like that. Nice sign. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hell yeah, baby. Pre-war, it was a Poseidon Energy solar harvesting plant, which if you've done the quest, which I assume you have, you can see that it's outside, the solar panels are there. It was built to usher in the solar age. We're in the nuclear age in the Fallout universe, and honestly, I think even in our universe, if we could get past Chernobyl and Hiroshima as the concepts of things being devastating linked to nuclear power could and should and hopefully will be the future of American power, of global power. It lasts a hell of a lot longer, it's a hell of a lot cheaper to run a hell of a lot more. And this was supposed to be solar, which has just as much capability as becoming the next big thing as nuclear power. But because it's Fallout, this wasn't just for solar power, for Poseidon to usher in the solar era of American history. This was also a U.S. testing facility, research and development, R&D, baby, for the Archimedes Project, a top secret orbital weapon. And if you've done the quest and you get the Euclid Seafinder, you know that once a day you can use the power of the sun to deliver a devastating blow against anyone in front of you. Truly, truly wild that that exists. And the fifth and final thing that he wants you to take a picture of is the big bottle entrance to the Sunset Sarsaparilla headquarters in Vegas. The headquarters of the popular soft drink from the pre-war that has then become even more popular amongst the people, especially if you're looking for those blue-starred bottled caps. It is the corporate offices and also the bottling plant there. And it's a giant Sunset Sarsaparilla bottle with a little bottle cap hanging off the edge where you can sit down, take a nice photo, be a day, be a night, and you can show off to Michelangelo what that is. Now, if you complete this quest, which is a super easy quest to complete, a quest that I really, really like, once it's completed, you'll get a collective 750 XP and can be rewarded with a haul of caps all the way up to 5,000 caps. So, depending on your speech checks, you can earn up to about 5,000 caps from this quest, depending on your speech checks. Just some fun facts about this quest. If for whatever reason you kill Sarah Winthrop, Michelangelo's sister, the quest just doesn't complete. If she dies for whatever reason, you can't complete the quest. You will not get the credit for the quest. It just kind of goes away. He's a very sad, very neurotic man. And even if it's a bug, I like to think that he was just like, cool, I have nothing left to live for other than my art. And I wasn't even feeling too hot about it as of late. I don't know why that resonated with me, and I just enjoyed that as much as I did. If you like the idea of walking around the Mojave and taking photos, if you ever run out of film, you can go back to Michelangelo and he'll give you more. Not something that like does anything in game, but I just thought it was super neat that you can just roleplay like a shutterbug. That's all I have on the quest classic inspiration from Fallout New Vegas. I hope you've enjoyed it. Like I said, it's kind of what I consider to be like a radiant quest, but for New Vegas, where Fallout 4 has these radiant quests of like, go save the settlement, or like, I need this. Fallout 3 has a lot of radiant quests that I find interesting. I've been playing Fallout 3 lately, and there's little things like, go get all these sugar bombs and bring it to this one guy so he can make Ultra Jet, or... the family needs blood packs. You can sell blood packs to a certain group and then get money. There's the guy in Megaton who you sell him scrap metal and he gives you caps. Like these weird fetch quests. The Brotherhood has one where if you find pre-war books, you can bring them to the library. I think it's the Arlington Library. And you can sell them there and they'll give you some money. And now you have this one that is only five things and it's not like it continues. But the idea of like, oh, hey, there's some really cool landmarks here in... New Vegas. Like you could take it to Zion. You could take it to Honest Hearts and take pictures of the mountain and what have you. I just think it's cool. I hope you think it's cool because that is this week's lore. Hey everybody, welcome on back to segment 3 of Atomic Radio Hour. There's something that I want to talk about really, really quickly. This year, I've said it before and I'll say it again. This year is the year of nostalgia and like talking to your kid, your kid self, not just your child, but your kid self, and being like, hey, buddy, it's okay. And there is something that recently, as of today's recording, which is March the 6th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. And it's that Rooster Teeth is no longer a thing. Now, I didn't grow up with Rooster Teeth. I grew up adjacent to Rooster Teeth. Kyle, I always remember being a big fan of Red vs. Blue. I had another friend, sadly, he's dead. He was a big fan of Red vs. Blue. It wasn't something that ever just like was on my radar. There was maybe a couple other Rooster Teeth things that I was like adjacent to. I believe Achievement Hunter is somewhat adjacent to Rooster Teeth, and I was kind of into Achievement Hunter a little bit, because there was also that one thing where it was like, ah, I'm always mad, and what was it called? It was just aggravation gaming or something, and I remember because of it, my friends and I were just like, I do not possess an education, this is where it comes from, I do not possess an education high enough to do this task, I have a public school education, something like that. It was called Rage Quit, Marcus. Saving the day. Rage Quit. I vaguely remember that. Yeah, it was like that impossible game where you would like jump with the cube and he was like, I have a public school education. And I think that was part of Rooster Teeth. Like I said, I wasn't huge into it, but I know like RWBY, which I think is pronounced Ruby, is an anime, an American anime. I believe a Texas anime. I think that's where Rooster Teeth is from. I was a Screw Attack kid. I was big on Screw Attack. And like, now it's just gone. Warner Brothers apparently owned Rooster Teeth and shut it down as of March 6, 2024 in the year of our Lord. And they left the podcast studio up, so apparently they're going to continue to do podcasts. Warner Brothers is also doing a bunch of fuck shit right now. I didn't talk about it, but Acme vs. Coyote is a movie that Bill Hader is in and said it's brilliant, and Warner Brothers wants to just delete the movie. And I saw that somebody has a copy of it on their computer and won't just upload it. They're like, well, if they delete the movie, I'll upload it. Like, do you really have it, bro? So, I the premise of it seems really cool. Wile E. Coyote, like, starts suing them. And he's like, these products don't work or something. Like, just the idea of kind of like a Looney Tunes back in action type ass movie or a Space Jam ass movie, but like good this time. It's just fascinating to me. And Warner Brothers shut down. Yeah, have you not heard about this, Marcus, in chat? Yeah, look up Coyote vs. Acme. It's like a real thing that like should come out and probably won't ever come out. The crew is like, we've seen the movie. We love it. It's great. I also wouldn't be surprised. This is another one of those. I was a big Looney Tunes kid. I wouldn't be surprised. This is one of those. What was that Seth Rogen movie where they went to North Korea that they're like, oh, we banned the movie because Sony got hacked. And then the movie came out. And it just wasn't that funny. It was just like a C-tier Seth Rogen movie. What the hell was the name of that movie? I wouldn't be surprised it's that. They're trying to drum up a little controversy so when the movie comes out, it makes a little bit more money than they're expecting it to make, because I know I'll go out of my way to go see that, especially with all the controversy that's around it. But Rooster Teeth is gone, man. And even as someone who wasn't a fan of Rooster Teeth, I was a big Halo 3 guy, dude. Like, Halo 3 holds a very special spot in my heart, and I would be a fool to say that by proxy I wasn't aware of it. Especially like Halo News Daily with Digital Fear, I believe it was, or Dead Pixel was the dude's name. I watched that a lot. I watched that a lot on my iPod Touch while I would run in my basement on the treadmill. Steven Larson? Holy shit, I forgot about them too. Steve here and Larson. And the dude's name was Steve here. That's why. So going all the way back, that's why like in Discord, my name used to be I'm your host, Vince, because I would say I'm your host, Vince. And then Olive's would be and I'm your .. host, Olive, because of Steven Larson, because they would say Steve here and Larson. So the dude's name was Steve here. And then the dude's name was and Larson. And I thought that joke was so funny as a child that it has become a part of the podcast to an extent. Rooster Teeth is gone. Sad day. The only person left from like OG internet is Darkside Phil and Chris Chan. That's all I have for you guys today. What a way to end. That's all I have for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like the intro music, it's by the one and only Shane Ivers. The song I use is called Feather Duster, but you can get all of his free tunes at silvermansounds.com/free music. In the description below is a link to the Patreon where you can check it out if you want to see these episodes get recorded live or even just support the show in a small monetary way at the $1 tier. Also, check out the Discord. It should be linked in the description below. It is linked in the description below. There's also a link to my Twitter. The show's Twitter is Kyle's Twitter. There's also a link to our Redbubble where you can buy some designs. And again, that helps the show out quite a bit. I hope you guys have enjoyed. I hope you guys are having a good week. Hope you guys are doing well. I love you very much. And I'll be seeing you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour. Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Ghoulman Entertainment.